will still be there, but ours won't be. Can you fathom the fact that he takes away our scars? He heals our memories. He restores our life. But he himself keeps the very scars that show the greatest sacrifice of all. And that will be eternally. How many love rainbows? We chase them. On our way back from conference last weekend, we were just passing Lakeville on 35W. And I told Vernita, there's a double rainbow. Keep your eye on the road. Yeah. Love rainbows. Back in the early 80s, and I know it's an old story, but we were up at Superior, and we saw a triple rainbow. Fabulous. Fabulous. And that was the time when God was calling me to pastoral ministry. And if there's any time you need a rainbow, that was it. But do you know, we basically only see 180 degrees of that rainbow, right? We only see a part of it. Do you know where the completion of it is? At the throne of God. Now I'm going to say something that I hope everybody understands why I'm saying it. The rainbow at no time in the history of this world has ever been around the White House. After the vote, they put a rainbow and they splashed it on the White House in Washington. They're fortunate we're under the grace of God. The rainbow is God's message. The rainbow is God's sign in the sky. It still is in place today. Did you know that? It didn't die and just go into oblivion after Noah. It still today is telling the world, I will no longer and I will never again take this earth with water. It's God's reminder. Man has no right to steal it. No matter what government, no matter what philosophy, it belongs solely to God himself. It's really important. Keep that in mind. So I'm going to read Revelation. The throne in heaven. And I'm going to read down, I'll just read 1-4. And after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me was like a trumpet. And it said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. Many believe in prophetic history and in the future as we go. The first, second, third chapters of the book of Revelation are talking about the church age, because it's referring to all the seven churches and the seven dispensations. And that this is the end of the church age, and it's the beginning of what's called the rapture of the church, because he's going up and in heaven immediately. And say, he says, and at once I was in the Spirit, and there was before me a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were the 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. How'd you like it if we had a throne here for every board member? Yeah, I'd like to see the fight over which one gets a center one. Yeah. Anyway, I guess that's why only God has the throne. But the bow echo, the rainbow, one of the most beautiful symbols, the most beautiful things that you'll ever see in the heavens is a rainbow. How many have seen The Wizard of Oz? Okay, came out in 1939. Did you know that the original city, it wasn't in Kansas, the original author, L. Frank Baum, it was in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So all you Sodak people, you know, you apparently were in the real great part. How many remember seeing in Emerald City the green horses? Do you know how they did that? They smothered them in Jell-O. In Jell-O. And they had to do the scenes quickly because they were afraid the horses were going to lick the Jell-O off. Can you imagine that? Well, if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, you know one thing above everything. The song Over the Rainbow was the most fabulous song that's ever been written in the secular world. It is the number one song of the songs of the century. And in the American Film Institute said it was the best song ever written. I agree, it's a great song. But let me tell you this much, it almost didn't get in the film. Imagine Over the Rainbow not being in Wizard of Oz. The executive producer and the head cheese said, Louis B. Mayer said this, it slows down the movie. And he didn't think it was appropriate that a little girl was in a barnyard singing. Well, she was on a farm. You might find a barn in a barnyard at a farm. So after they had a preview in San Luis Obispo, they decided to take the song out of The Wizard of Oz. But thankfully, one of the associate producers and Judy Garland's vocal coach fought to keep it in, which is a good thing because it really tells the theme of a young girl saying, is there something over that rainbow? Is there something beyond the beauty? My life is boring. My life is in black and white. And you know, that's when they started the Technicolor. And even though in the film, you see this girl looking out into Oz and she sees all the beautiful bright colors. That wasn't Judy Garland, that was a stand-in. I don't know why they didn't want to use Judy's back, but anyway, they didn't do that. And by the way, Dorothy, the name Dorothy was used because it was the author, L. Frank Baum's niece, who had died after 5 months. And he wanted to name his heroine after his niece. So that song almost didn't make it. Do you know what this world wants to do with the rainbow? They want to take it from heaven and they want to humanize it. And they want to make it their theme, make it their statement, make it their message. You don't do that with God's message. And the rainbow was one of the great significances in the scripture because God put it there. Nobody else put it there. Now, why would he do this? Well, because it's a reminder of the fact that at the time of Noah, what happened? God judged the world, and he judged them by water. And in his grace, he did not have any windows around the perimeter of the ark so nobody could see anyone drowning. He had one window, and it was straight up to heaven. You know, if you're in a state of life where everything's in turmoil, keep your eyes upward, up on Jesus. Don't look around. You'll get discouraged. Why is this important? Because, first of all, it's revelatory. It is when this word in Revelation, when the heavens open, and it was on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, that's why we worship on Sunday. He resurrected on a Sunday. Okay, that's the first day of the week when he stood in light and came into his creation. Imperative to know that. Anyway, here we go. The revelation of the rainbow is this. The trumpet sounds. What does the book of 1 Thessalonians and different ones talk about the trumpet? The trumpet is sounding when the Lord is calling his church. Okay. And it may be like your alarm clock. You don't hear it, but your spirit will hear it. And I assure you, it will be one trumpet that makes a difference. There's no question, one particular one. And the Bible says in second verse, one was sitting on the throne. And in the Greek, it means the one is sitting. That is whole. It means the definite article. It means the. Nobody else fills that throne. This is the Father. Because not long after this, we won't get into it, but the Lamb is there, which is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit, he was brought up in the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is involved. And again, we see the Trinity here. But it is the Father that is on the throne here. And nobody else fills that place except him. And it says, these gems are like unto God. Notice the word like him, in appearance as. What it really means is, this is the best description they can offer of how what God looks like and what's around him. The best we have to offer in this world are the beautiful gems that we have, just like the streets of gold, the most precious. Why? Because it's money. It transfers into money. But above that, and you know as well as I do, it's far grander than that. There's no way it would be what's on our earth. God didn't create his home to be like ours. But they're likened to jasper, first of all. This Greek word means a precious stone of different kinds of colors. Maria would like it because some are purple. Others would like it because it's blue. And you know as well as I do, these are beautiful colors. It's not like some of this muted stuff they do nowadays. I mean, it's boring. I like it to be bright, vibrant, green, some brass. It comes from an unused word, Persian word, that means to polish. Do you know how bright and how shiny that has to be? Fabulous. The other one, sardius, comes from a word sard, and it means a flesh-colored cornelia. A New International Version believes it's the ruby, which I love the ruby. Anything red's good to me. But doesn't matter. Could be something we're not even fully aware of, but it will be exquisite. And then here's when I finally saw this in the scripture when I became a Christian, that the rainbow was around the throne. That's where it was completed. That's where you find the rest of it. I thought, fabulous, it's completed in the presence of God. He didn't just throw the rainbow out into this system and then forget about it. It actually is connected to his presence. You destroy or try to do anything to the rainbow, you are dishonoring the presence of Almighty God. There's no question about it. The rainbow is around the throne. And the word rainbow, iris, it means a rainbow or a halo. How many think, you know, you see a lot of pictures of that angels have halos? The one that has the halo is God. Nobody else is God. Beautiful rainbow. Beautiful all the way around. And it comes from a word, ireo, that means to call, say, and speak, to tell. The rainbow is the message of God from eternity that I will never again destroy the world with water. That's God's message to you and to me and to this society. And every time you see a rainbow, it should bring people back to God, back to his lordship. It means around the throne. That word means in a circle, roundabout, all sides. There's nowhere you could look from God and not see the rainbow. I love it. Now, the rainbow we see is beautiful, all of its beautiful colors. I love it. But you got to know this is exquisite around the throne. I'll never forget the night, as in January 2009, I think. I was praying for Maida, and it was a Thursday night, I think. And I was praying for her, and I saw her face, and there was gold all the way around it. And I immediately thought, she's going to be in the presence of the Lord. And she died not long after that. The Lord knows how to frame holiness. He knows how to frame his beauty. He knows how to frame that completeness, and completeness only comes at his throne and in the presence of God. And it said, a rainbow like an emerald. That's where they get the Emerald City. You get the idea that L. Frank Baum might have read the Bible a little bit? You can't get any better information than from the Bible, by the way. But this word means a transparent, precious stone, noted for a light green color. And green, of course, is the color between and made by blue and yellow. And when I think of that, I think of the yellow as the Son of God, the brilliance of the sun, and the blue meaning heaven, the glory of God's heaven. We know one thing, it is the sun from heaven, isn't it? The great rainbow as we see God's presence. Now, green, of course, speaks of the earth and the grass. So the rainbow is the message to the earth. And it's still in place today. Never has been terminated, never has been undone. Nobody's ever got a better message. It still speaks. It's repeated, not deleted. So I want you to turn to Revelation or to Genesis 9, just to read the text from Noah and the Ark. Always go back to the original story whenever possible. This is the law of first mention of the rainbow. 9th chapter, 14. To 17. Now, I'm going to go back to 13. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. And so God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and life on the earth. You know something about this particular covenant? It didn't have anything to do with man. It had everything to do with God. Do you remember the one of the Abraham covenants where he walks through some flesh that's been torn apart and God gives him a covenant? Not a thing Abraham had to do. God had done it all. That's what it is here. He repeats, he does not delete this. The rainbow, the Hebrew word for it, it means a bow. But it comes from a word that means bending a bow. I love that. Bending. Do you know what the Lord did when he came down the earth? He bent low and he came down here. And he bends a bow into the sky. Why? Because 180 degrees is what? Repentance. You don't just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then you go the same way. That's not repentance. That's not following him. Repentance means you take it 180 degrees. And you go the opposite direction. That's what the rainbow, the part we see, tells us. God does not bend his standard or his holiness, but he does bend for our benefit. The covenant. Remember, it's a covenant, not a contract, because a contract is a business arrangement. A covenant is a relationship, and that's what this is. And the Hebrew word for that, it means a pact, a covenant, and it really means divine ordinance. And it comes from the word bara in the sense of cutting. Again, Abraham passing between pieces of flesh. God makes a covenant by cutting. What did he do on the cross? He was wounded. He was punctured. There's no question. He was cut asunder. And he did it for me and for you. And the Bible says he did this as a sign. That word means a sign, a pledge, and a token. He could not pledge by any greater, so he pledged by himself. I will never do this again. In fact, I remember in 89 when I was having gallbladder problems and went to Unity, and the surgeon wanted to bump a heart patient for me, which made me mad, so I wouldn't let him work on me. But anyway. And before I left, I looked out the window and there was a rainbow. And the Lord very clearly said to me, you won't have to walk this way anymore. And so it's been 26 years and I haven't. I just had to pray for that doctor because he really made me mad. What do you mean bump a heart patient? Don't you think he needs help? That was my opinion. Anyway, so I got a little aggravated. Said, you won't operate on me if I'm unconscious. I can guarantee you. But anyway, I still pray for him. The rainbow belongs only to God. Doesn't belong to any group, anywhere. And the people that have been using the rainbow are using it without the approval of the one who created it. And on top of it, he would never allow that message to be the message of the rainbow. Now, what's the function of the rainbow? To reflect, to refract, and disperse light through water. And it's always, generally speaking, it's on the other side of the sun when you see a rainbow. If you see bright sun, look on the other side when the rain has come through, and there'll be a rainbow. On the one side was the judgment of God. On the other side was the rainbow. Because God is going to pour his judgment out. This time it won't be with water. It will be with fire. But only God can use the tool, water. Only God can use the rainbow. Nobody else can. Now, I pray for and respect the office of the presidency, but I do not honor anybody that takes something of God's and mismanages it and misrepresents it. And I don't care who it is and what they say. It still belongs to God. Do you know that the slippers in the original story of the Wizard of Oz were silver, not ruby? And they were changed to ruby because of the Technicolor. They figured it would come out better on film. Now they just steal them from museums. But other than that, yeah. And I was reading that the man who wrote the lyric to Over the Rainbow, Harburg, he was also expressing a political opinion, hope for America under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal after the Depression. It'll be better over the rainbow. There'll be new hope over the rainbow. Well, that's the government of this world, and I'm not sure that we're better for it as a nation, because it ended up everyone's entitled. Welfare became a career instead of a service to help people. But at any rate, the rainbow, the true rainbow of God, is the government of his world. And I guarantee you, he's going to speak from heaven. The bow echo reminds us that echo is going to come, and it's going to keep coming. And as long as the rainbow is out there, God is speaking to people, if they'll listen. I hope we're listening. Let's not judge people. Let's pray and be an instrument in the hands of God for those that are misusing the hallowed word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the rainbow. Lord, you have such great taste, and that rainbow is exquisite. Lord, they're just bright and beautiful and all the wonderful colors and how they work together. You're the great, great designer of all. We thank you so much, but we also thank you that you bent it. You made it so that it would remind us that we need to repent and we need to turn to you, Lord, because the water will not come, but there's another thing coming. Lord, keep us alert. Keep us, Lord, in the truth of Jesus Christ. Remind us that the rainbow and the blessings and all the things that you have given, their completion is only in the presence of God, not in any other philosophy, not in any other belief system, certainly not in any works or achievement that we can come up with. But you handed it and you gave it yourself. Thank you so much for your grace. I pray, Lord, that you would just take this word deep in our soul and remind us how you take this so seriously. May we do so as well. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lamb.
You're only Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb.
Dennis will come up and administer communion.
Matthew 26:26-30. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Communion is a celebration. It's a celebration of God's love for you and for I. Before the creation of the world, God loved us. And he planned for us to be adopted as his sons and daughters. It's a celebration because he who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might receive God's total approval. Total approval because of Christ becoming our sin. And it's a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And death no longer has its sting because the sting was sin. And just as he's resurrected through faith in him, that we have died with him on the cross, and we symbolize that in baptism, that we live a new life through the indwelling spirit of the living God. And that's what it's all about. This is a celebration. And when we read in Genesis, when God, the Father and Son and Holy Spirit said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Tell me, you who have had a child or have had a new niece or a nephew or a cousin, do you not delight in that baby? Do you not delight in that newborn child? How much more did God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit delight in Adam and Eve? How much more does God delight in us? How much more does he love us more than we can understand? That is his love. And if you live in his presence, if you worship him daily, if you meditate on his love, then he will transform your heart. And you can walk in intimacy with him, in fellowship with him, and with others. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask your blessing on communion. Lord, upon the bread that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon the juice that represents your blood. We pray that we would worship you as we do this, Lord, and know your love and your victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the servers please come to pass it out? I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 in the Message. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. This represents the body of the Lord broken on the cross for you and I. Take and eat. Father, we praise you that you so loved the world, you so loved your creation, you so loved every man, woman, and child, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And everlasting life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, to have a relationship with you of intimacy, of love. We give you the praise for this in the name of Jesus. Will the servers please come forward for the juice? Praise be to the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, to be sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, might live for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He gave his life for you and for me. Take and drink. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, when you hung on the cross, you cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You experienced the wrath of God. You were forsaken, so that we might not be forsaken. And you said, it is finished, and it is finished, Lord. Let us live in that finished salvation and in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As we sing the last song, How Great Thou Art, fabulous song of the presence of God, of his greatness. I want you to think about the rainbow, the 180-degree arc. the 183-day ark. If we don't repent of our sin, if we don't repent of our selfish lifestyle, if we don't repent of our me, we're not going to see the completion of the rainbow around the throne. Okay? So as we sing this, how great thou art. If there's something the Lord's been dealing with in your life and you've been fighting him or whatever it is, if today is a day for you to say, Lord, I just want to surrender it to you. I want to have a rainbow for me from your throne. You come up here when we're singing. Just get anything out of your soul. You know, the world is going straight down. Don't go with it. Okay? Please stand.
Oh.
Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. How great you are, we can't even fathom. We can't fathom the rainbow around the throne of the grace of God and the gem that you really are. Lord, there's not even words to acknowledge it in the scripture. It's like this. It kind of looks like that. It's the best description we can offer, but it's not good enough. Father, how humbled we are that the God that is in beauty around the throne, who is polished and sparkling and bright and vivid, chose to come into this dark, dingy world and to scoop us out of the garbage and give us new life. Father, we're grateful. We don't deserve it. We'll never deserve it. But we are grateful. And I pray, oh God, that you would remind us of your glory and grace. Lord Jesus, salvation is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about who you are. And I pray that you would make it more full and more exciting. Because, Lord, that's its intention. It was not just to be left on the side of the road. It is the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May, Lord, we shine because we've been in your presence. And may people say, I perceive you've been with Jesus. Holy Lord, have your way in every life here today. Lord Jesus, we'll never be assembled in this exact way again. Continue your work, prod by your Holy Spirit, if we are not hearing what you want to say. Lord, we pray. We give you permission, Lord, to do what you want to do. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Bless this week and all the things that go on. But above all, keep our eyes upward on the cross and on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. And we pray for this one that Bobby has requested prayer for your healing, for your touch upon this life, upon Donnie's brother Marvin, upon so many, Lord, that need you to physically touch them, but more importantly, spiritually. Lord, one day this body is going to fall off, and healing will not be the prayer. Now is the time for salvation. Lord, bring forth your glory, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.